Hey folks, greetings from the Offensive Security Group here at Secure IT 360, coming at you with another episode of the Cyber Threat Perspective. Today we've got Darius on the show again today. Everybody say hi to Darius.
Hey everyone, glad to be back.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, man. Life is good, man. No complaints on my end.
Yeah, yeah. You and I have been working together a lot today and doing some AWS pen testing stuff. Super fun, and we'll have to chat more about that on the podcast. But today's podcast is all about cybersecurity training and certification advice. So I thought it would be cool to sit down with Darius, who's a recently minted OSCP holder, and talk about cybersecurity training, offensive security training, pen testing training, and talk about certifications, our advice, kind of our thoughts on the landscape, and just advice for people who are getting certifications, going through training, just based on our own experiences and things like that. So that's what this episode is. Hopefully, if you are listening, hopefully you get value from this discussion. If you do, leave us a comment or something and let us know what you liked or didn't like, and we will address those questions as well. So cool. So the first point, Darius, I wanted to bring up in this discussion is something that I mentioned like last week or the week before that, and I posted this on Twitter as well, is doing certifications and doing training that you believe in and that you value. I think this is a big reason why I don't do some training, what I haven't gone after some certifications and done some training, is because I don't necessarily believe in the format or the content or exam or the training in some aspects. So that was my first advice, is do things that you believe in, do things that you find that are valuable or that you value yourself. Try not to do things that you're just doing, you know, just for the sake of doing it, or because you think it'll be popular, or you think that it's going to, you know, just purely do it at surface level, I think is kind of antithesis to what we should be doing. But I also, again, empathize with people. I don't want to tell anyone what to do. And so I guess I should preface that with, you know, you do what you want, you do your thing and what you want. But I think at the core, like fundamental for me, when I think about training and certifications, is like, I think I would like to do things that provide me value, or things that I believe in, or things that are structured in the way that I would like to see training done. And so those are the things I go after. But I'm curious your thoughts on that, Darius.
Yeah, so overall, agree. I feel like I'm going to be a contrarian throughout this entire episode.
That's good. But, I mean, you can't just agree the whole time.
But, well, you know, to the point of what you're saying, you know, once again, value, right? And value is definitely subjective. I think, and it's kind of interesting that you say that. I was looking earlier, and I think Heath from TCM Security literally just posted something about this, where he's like, you know, you technically don't need certifications to land a job in the IT and cybersecurity industry. And the reality of the matter is 100% he's correct, right? That being said, right, it is 2024. We know how things are. There are definitely ways to make the process of landing a job easier. And one of those ways is through certification, right? So like when we're thinking about like value, I think it looks different for everybody. And I think it really just depends on the individual's journey. So like, in my opinion, I'm a guy who, in my opinion, I don't think highly of the CompTIA certs. I just don't. But that being said, I'm at a point in my career where a CompTIA cert doesn't really lend any value to me. If you're someone who is trying to break into the industry, a CompTIA cert, like Security Plus, CYSA, you know, it's going to serve you and provide value.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think, so for me, when I say like, don't do training or certifications that you don't believe in, one of the prime example for me are the 24-hour exams, yep, right? Which Altered Security, Offensive Security, and a number of others have. And I understand why the format is the way it is. That's just a training. That's like a certification style that I don't necessarily believe in. I don't think it fosters the right kind of approach to things. And I think everybody's you know, free to disagree and have their own viewpoint on it. But for me, like, I wouldn't go out and pursue those trainings because of that, right? And that's kind of what I'm getting at, is like knowing yourself, knowing what you value, what you think is important. And obviously those kinds of things do help with job transitions, with getting new jobs. Of course they do.
Well, I think it's also, we talked a little bit about this. I think we did the certification tier list video, which if you haven't seen that yet, definitely check it out. It's definitely a fun one. But you know, for me, when it comes to certifications, there's kind of the spectrum, in my opinion, between education and HR. And you know, you have some certifications that are heavy on the education. You're going to learn a lot, but you don't see them posted anywhere on job postings. They don't necessarily hold weight from a gaining a job perspective. And then you have the other end of the spectrum where, you know, you have HR certs where it's like, okay, are you going to learn? Maybe, right? But having and holding that certification just propels you. And you know, and the prime examples that I think of is, you know, I think of the CISB, right?
Yeah.
It is a cert that if you're going to be in the cybersecurity industry, it is worthwhile to get it as soon as you have, you know, the yearly experience, right? And, you know, I would also say from an offensive security's perspective, presently, OSCP kind of falls into that category as well. And until, you know, we see job postings and HR act differently, you know, it makes sense, in my opinion. So once again, you know, depends on value, but, you know, find that certification that strikes the balance you're looking for between the formats, but also between making sure that you're learning as well as it's going to, you know, get you past, you know, filters and HR and all that.
Yep. And something I hear often, so people DM me or people will ask, like, I want to get into cybersecurity, but I don't know what I want to do. So I think you have to try a lot of different things. And I think the same can be said for training and certifications. Obviously you want to focus on things that interest you, right? If you are interested in pen testing, you want to focus on pen testing certifications. If you are interested in being a SOC analyst or a threat hunter or, doing reverse engineering or incident response, like, you want to focus on training that interests you, right? And I think that's important for getting a sense of the industry, right? One of the ways that you can kind of figure out or like learn what it's like to be in that job role is to do some of the training for those roles, right? I think it's a good way to get some introductory experience in that industry is by going through some of the training. And there's a lot of quality training that you can get a lot of different perspectives from. And then the community on top of that, you know, a lot of these training programs and courses and certifications now have communities around them and you can talk to people. So if you're just getting into the industry, go through some of these training courses, join the community, be like, hey, what do you think about this role? Like, what do you like about it? You know, what are the things you don't like about it? And that can kind of give you a sense, if you're new to the industry, kind of what you're interested in going after, because there's so many jobs you can have.
Yes.
Yeah. It's hard. Like, if you're like, I want to be in cybersecurity, there's so many different roles you can do. It can be kind of daunting to, like, you know, pick one if you aren't like super clear right out of the get-go what you want to do.
For sure. And I can definitely agree with you on the exposure, because it's kind of interesting. You know, we get a lot of people that are like, I want to be a pen tester. I want to hack stuff. Then you, like, you give them the roadmap, or you know, or you start going through training, or maybe it's like, hey, come shadow me for a bit. And they're like, wait, where's the part where you're, you know, hacking through the mainframe? Where's all the fun, you know, sexy stuff? And it's like, oh no, like, the majority of it is I'm digging through logs, you know, or just very, you know, the kind of what some may consider the boring aspects of the role. So definitely agree about, you know, getting that exposure to see what you do, what you don't like. But to your point, right? Like, 100%. Make sure you're focusing on, you know, what interests you. I think it's also important to, like, make sure you don't fall into the trap. I think it's really easy, especially for those starting out, right, to fall into the trap of, oh man, all I have to do is get this certification and then I get this outcome. And I think a large part of that, I think I've talked about it before, I have a huge gripe with, like, tech influencers, because they're lying to people. But you know, certifications don't get you a job. Nor do they, you know, ensure, hey, get the certification, you're going to make a certain amount of money. So I think it's kind of important to kind of remember that as you're looking to, you know, gain a certification, whichever one it may be.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point. And so one of the other things I think is interesting is how people go through the training content. And I know this because I've done this myself. So one of the best ways to not learn the content is to like rush through the content, get all the flags, you know, submit all the questions and get to the end, mark the stamp, get the certification of completion, like the badge that says, yes, I'm done, I did it. That's the recipe for not learning anything, right? How you do learn things in training courses and certifications is to take your time. If you don't understand things, go back and reread things. You know, this is like learning 101, but, you know, I often fall in the trap of like speeding through the content, right? And not reading enough, not going in depth enough, not understanding it enough. So I find what works best for me is to go back and reread things, go through the labs again, or look for different content on that subject outside of the course. But my advice for purely like the learning aspect of it is to take your time, right? Don't rush through the content. You know, go through the labs multiple times, read the content multiple times, ask people questions if you have questions about it, try to figure it out, and kind of immerse yourself in that learning, in that training, whether it's podcasts or books or YouTube or social media or whatever. That is kind of my recipe, and how it works best for me is to go through it multiple times, multiple iterations, to really consume that and for it to like settle in. Right? Because the first time you read something, it's hard for it to kind of like take hold, you know, in your brain. Yeah. I don't know if you get, you're like me, Darius, but like the first time I read something, I'm like, okay, what? You know, like the first time you heard about Kerber roasting, yeah. You know, like it's very confusing and complex for somebody who's just learning it, right? You've got the KDC and you've got ticket granting tickets and like you've got all of this, these pieces. Like there's no way you can just read it once and then like, okay, yeah, I understand it. Like most people are not like that. So you have to go through it. You have to see examples. You have to, you know, it takes time. So my advice is don't rush it.
For sure. And, you know, I think part of it is also you have to strategize though. You do have to strategize in terms of, I notice a lot of these certifications and training courses now, you're time boxed. And you know, it's something where you really have to kind of strategize and make sure you're utilizing your time efficiently. I'm a person to where with me, I struggle with, okay, I'm just going to dedicate, you know, 1 hour here and there. I'm very much an all or nothing, like, all right, I'm going to spend this entire evening focusing on this one thing, versus, you know, starting and stopping. And so, definitely want to make sure you're strategizing in terms of utilizing your time, making sure you're focusing more so on your weaknesses. So like a prime example I kind of think of is the CISB in terms of it's an adaptive test, right? Once you get a solid foundation of the domains down, it makes more sense to focus on the domain that you're the weakest in, because as you take the test, it's going to ask you more questions in that domain. So you definitely want to strategize. And for that, in my opinion, Reddit is my go-to. Anytime I've ever, you know, studying for a certification, I'm following the subreddit dedicated to that cert. That and, you know, along with Discord, you know, just gives you a plethora of resources and tips and tricks and things that, you know, you're not going to get just strictly by following the course material on its own.
Yep. Yeah. That's a good point and brings me to my next bullet in this topic is don't expect the course content to give you 100% of the answers on that subject. Yep. Right. So I see and I've heard from people who like do a certification exam, they go through it and they're like, well, I didn't learn XYZ in the course, or like it didn't teach me everything I needed to know about that. And my thoughts are like the course is a stepping stone. The course is, you know, your introduction to that subject, and they can't possibly teach you everything, every single nuance on that topic, right? So case in point, when I was going through the RTO course, some would say it's, you know, slim on the content, right? You know, the content is very straightforward. It's very up to date and relevant and accurate. And it's a really, really, really great course. But there are some areas where, you know, it might be a little bit slim. You could potentially add some additional content to it, to that course. That's a situation where you just go and you read other blogs or other articles or watch other YouTube videos on that subject. So like Kerberos is a good example. There's unlimited guides and tutorials and documentation and all sorts of things on Kerberos abuse. You know, like constrained delegation, resource-based, unconstrained, all those different Kerberos abuses. There's a lot of other resources that people have written on those topics. And if you're not clear, or maybe it's not clicking in the course, how the course author created it or wrote it or is describing it, maybe you need to go somewhere else to learn that, right? Or to like fully understand it. So my advice there is, you know, don't expect the course to give you 100% of the information. You've got to do some work. You've got to do some homework. You've got to take some of the onus and ownership of your learning to just go out to other places to kind of fill those gaps, you know, where you're missing things.
Yeah. And that definitely 100%, I think OSCP is a prime example of a certification that kind of falls into that category. But I guess I'll wait before we talk about that.
Yeah. Don't spoil it. So the next one is, I wrote this down in my notes because it was kind of cheeky, but try hard enough, then get help, identify your mistakes or your incorrect assumptions, learn from it and move on. And so this is kind of leading to the OSCP discussion. I think we have one more like kind of bullet point before I get there, but I'm an advocate of trying to figure things out for myself. Like I'm very much self-motivated, self-taught in that way of like, I like to be the one to figure out the problem. And you know, you can fall into this gap of having so much pride that you will not get help from people. And I think it's a pride issue, right? Like you want to figure it out. You're going to bang your head until you figure it out. You figure out. But I think there is a diminishing return where you're beginning to waste your time and you're losing time. You're losing hours where you could be actually learning things and moving forward on a problem or a subject. And you're not, because you have so much pride that you're going to try to figure out no matter what. So I think knowing your limits, knowing when you have exhausted your research, exhausted your, your potential avenues of trying to figure it out. And then saying to yourself, like, it's okay to not know. Let's ask, you know, I've done my research. I've tried all these things. You know, I've tried to look at it all different ways. Now I'm going to get help and try to move myself forward over that hurdle, figure out what I was missing, help me change my perspective and kind of move past that.
Yeah. And I mean, that mentality honestly goes beyond just the certification, right? I mean, even in terms of, I think it's just really a work and even a life thing. You're always going to have, you know, there's always going to be unknown unknowns, right? And there's always going to be someone that has that knowledge that you just don't have in the moment. And so, you know, you're only shooting yourself in the foot, right? That is also something that I dealt with because once again, that pride thing, man, pride will get you every single time. Yeah. Like, you know, even beyond the certifications, whenever I'm doing a box or whenever I'm working on an engagement, when you have all the fragments and you're like, I know I should be able to get this working. I have all the fragments. Sometimes it's prudent to, you know, get a second set of eyes and to look up a walkthrough, you know, et cetera. Like all that can be helpful in the long term.
Yeah. The smartest person in the room is the person who's not afraid to ask questions, right? Yeah. Is the not afraid to speak up, be like, hey, wait, I don't really understand that. How's that work? Can somebody help me understand this? Those are the people that truly get to know and understand a subject at a deep level.
100%.
So the hacker mindset, I mean, it can't be a cybersecurity training/certification podcast where we also talk about OSCP without talking about like hacker mindset. Yeah. So I think there are the hacker mindset of what I would consider it. I think suits training and certifications very well. And I think those are good life skills. And some of the things that I think about when I think about the hacker mindset, I'm curious where your mind goes, Darius, but curiosity, you know, being like curious of how things work, having ingenuity and resourcefulness. Like, can you just like use what your tools that you have to kind of figure out ways to do things that you need to do? And then perseverance, like, can you push through? Can you work through a problem without getting discouraged or frustrated and kind of giving up? So there's some things that come to my mind, but I'm curious, like when we say hacker mentality or hacker mindset, like what do you think of, where do you go to when we say that?
So initially, which I guess, you know, I think resiliency for sure, which is similar to perseverance, but I kind of, one of the things I go to, and something that Brad mentions all the time, when I think of hackers, right, I think of builders and you know, quote unquote destroyers, right? And so I think a good hacker is someone that can do both. A good hacker is someone that knows the foundation, has a solid foundation, can build. And so by that, I mean, whether it's coding, whether it's managing Active Directory, a cloud environment, et cetera. I just kind of think, you know, you have to be able to build first, or at least if you want to be great, you have to, you know, knowing how to build is a part of it. And that's kind of where my mind goes. And then also that's where, you know, by knowing how to build, it makes you a better, you know, destructor or breaker, right? Because you know how it works. I think something else, you know, not exactly a, you know, it's not a single word, but, you know, being detailed oriented is also kind of that hacker mindset, right? Because, you know, a lot of times it's about being able to quickly filter, look through the noise and be like, hey, you know, find the needle in the haystack. And you're like, hey, this is different. This doesn't seem right. And being able to, you know, accurately kind of pull on that thread. So that's where my mind goes initially.
Yeah. Super good. Yeah. I like the attention to detail one. You know, I think that's super underappreciated for the job that we have and what we do. I think so much, and it goes back to what I said of like rushing through content. Like, I think a lot of people look for surface level understanding and don't dig deep enough to understand things. And those that do, I think are rewarded for it. So, I did want to ask you about OSCP. So
yes,
this is like the coup de grace of this episode. What I'm really looking forward to is thoughts on OSCP. So for those who are listening, Darius is had just recently passed his OSCP. So he's now OSCP certified, and you got 100 points. Is that right?
Yes. Yep.
100 points. Yep. First attempt. And, you know, overall, just like, it just shows how hard you've worked for it. You know, us on the team, we've seen how hard you've been working at it. We know you have the skill set for it. And you know, we were even talking, like, we were at a conference, I'm like, and Brad told me, I'm like, I knew he was going to crush it. Like, just absolutely knew like you were going to crush it. And, you know, so I'm curious your thoughts, your experiences with the OSCP, you know, laid out for us. What are you thinking? How'd it go? What did you like? Didn't like all that, all the jazz.
Yeah. So, I guess I'll put an asterisk before I start and say that, you know, I think with me, I already had some pen testing experience, right? You know, I already had some previous pen testing experience, and, you know, also had previous knowledge that made, you know, getting through the course and kind of the what easier. So I guess I'll preface it with that. That being said, man, when I started my journey at the beginning of this year, and pretty much my approach was that of just hyperfixation. So it was like, if I wasn't on an engagement, I was focused on the OSCP. So I guess overall, you know, for those who don't know, the way the course is structured, it's a 48-hour, you know, or how the exam is structured, it's a 48-hour exam, 24 hours to basically get through, get enough points to pass. So you have an AD set that consists of about three boxes, and then you have three standalones. So the whole idea behind it is you want to hack enough until you get enough points to pass. And there are tons of different avenues and paths that you can do that.
So the AD set gives you like 60 or 70 points?
40. Yeah. So the AD set gets you 40 points. Gotcha. And then each standalone, you have a potential for 20 points. So initial access, and then you escalate your privileges. And then that's another 10 right there. And so I think, you know, I went through all the course material. The course material can be a lot. Like I said, I think as I was kind of going through the course, I leaned a lot on my previous knowledge. So, you know, I did that. And then afterwards, you know, part of the course is also you have challenge labs. So those challenge labs basically prepare you for the OSCP, the exam itself, in terms of how to actually approach boxes on the exam. So, you know, the course material gets you the what. I think the challenge labs kind of gets you the how. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, another benefit is, you know, if you do enough, I think it's like 80% of the course material labs, and you get a certain amount of flags for the challenge labs, you get opportunity to get 10 bonus points. So, you know, that's a plus there. Something that I also did was I went through the TJ Knowles. He has kind of, he's pretty famous amongst the community. And he has a list of like, hey, if you're going for the OSCP, do these boxes, do these challenges. Mm-hmm. So going through that, to your point earlier, right, about using, you know, supplementary sources to kind of prepare you, that 100% was super critical, I think, in terms of preparation. So yeah, overall, I would probably say, and you know, we talked about the format before, the 48-hour format, is it realistic for, you know, the actual job itself? And the answer I would say is no, right? Because generally engagements last more than 48 hours. Generally, you have a week or more to work on an engagement. That being said, something that I really liked about the OSCP that I took away from it is it allowed me to refine my methodology. What I was doing before in the past, while it, you know, it worked, this definitely kind of, you know, pushed me to, okay, for starters, let's expand my list, right? Let's actually write stuff down, as opposed to keeping it, you know, all in my head. So that was something that was extremely helpful. This is honestly the most fun exam I've ever taken, as frustrating as it was at times.
Yeah.
In terms of, just the fact that it is 100% practical. So, you know, don't get me wrong. A multiple choice test can be, you know, it's fine too, but something about it being 100% practical is really fun. So yeah, those are just kind of my immediate thoughts in terms of the certification. Would I recommend it? I still recommend it, you know, from I know we've been back and forth before, like, is it worth it?
Yep.
Once again, I think it comes back to value. I think it really just depends. But overall, man, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. And I know you were saying that the labs really helped to kind of get you in the mindset to take the exam, right? Because the labs, like, I think you were kind of talking about this from somebody who's more experienced, which you have more experience than somebody I think would typically take the OSCP, right? Like, you've been doing pen tests for a number of years now. You've got a lot of experience in different things. You've got other certifications. So you already had like this preconceived notion in your head of how things were done.
Yep.
And you said that, you know, you kind of have to kind of do the labs and kind of do it their way. And that'll kind of help you do better on the exam, right?
For sure. You definitely have to drink the Kool-Aid. the OSC, yeah, you definitely have to drink the OFSEC kind of Kool-Aid. There are definitely times to where I would see things, and on a normal exam, that's what I would do. That's what I would go after. But the reality of the matter is it was a rabbit hole. It was either a rabbit hole, or, you know, there's maybe one time to where, you know, okay, I'm gonna do it my way, and it worked, right? But, you know, you're better off sticking to what's in the course material.
Yep.
So I guess that kind of leads me to the other point. The OSCP, you know, we read a lot about, you know, how hard and tough it can be. And it is, right? But I will say it's a fair exam. Everything that you need to pass the exam is technically taught in the course material. And so I'll say it's fair. A lot of it just comes down to developing your own methodology, sticking to it, and then just putting the reps in on how they're going to structure their boxes and challenges.
Yeah. Awesome. Now, I did want to pick your brain about grants. So grants for training and stuff like that. I know that's a thing. I know you have experience with grants for training and for certifications and stuff like that. So, you know, for people who don't necessarily have as much support from employers as you and I do, you know, we're very fortunate at Secure IT 360, where they're very gracious and do a lot for us from a training and cost perspective. But I know not a lot of other organizations are like that, right? Maybe they don't cover all of it, or 50% or some smaller amount. So grants are probably pretty attractive for people who are looking for training, but maybe can't afford it. So what are how do you get grants? What is that? Like, how can people look for things like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, do you hit the nail on the head, right? Like, the reality of the matter is a lot of these certifications are extremely expensive, which also kind of adds to the pressure of, man, you want to pass the first time, right? And so that's definitely where I think grants can kind of fill the gap. So in my case, I work with a cybersecurity nonprofit. And so one of the things that we did was we applied to a couple of grants, and we basically leveraged those grants in order to get certified. And so that's something that honestly anybody can do. So let's take a step back. Like when it comes to like the what of a grant, right? There are businesses and even government entities out there who they recognize that, you know, there's a skill gap within the cyber security industry. They want to close that skill gap. And so they will provide money for people to basically take further their education, whether it's via certification, whether it's via, you know, going back to school, you know, the sky's the limit. And so really it's a matter of just find a grant. You then have to write for the grant. A lot of times those grants may have certain rules and stipulations and how you go about doing things and what you can do. But if you're willing to play ball, if you're willing to go through the process of writing a grant and the process of applying for one, it pays dividends. And it's definitely kind of an easy way to get certified, to pay for a lot of these certifications. Some easy ways to find out about these grants, I would say, is there's FEMA. So FEMA is a pretty, their website, they have a list of cybersecurity grants that anybody can apply to. On top of that, a lot of your larger firms provide some form of a grant. So your PNCs, your Blooms Allen Hamiltons, firms like that are often, looking to provide opportunities.
Are there certain requirements that you have to meet to apply for grants? Do you have to have a certain amount of experience or have certain, are there certain requirements for those?
So it depends. So each grant is different. So, there are definitely grants out there that are more geared towards, hey, you're entry level, or you're trying to go from maybe the healthcare industry to cybersecurity. So it's all about finding, it's kind of similar to applying for scholarships in my mind, where you want to find the grant that kind of matches who you are and where you're at.
Yep. Gotcha. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. I think that can be a great way for people who are listening. 'Cause it was kind of new to me, the whole grant thing and kind of scholarship thing but I think that can be a great option for people that can't afford it or don't have this much employer support.
And it definitely, now is the time. I say that because we see that from a government perspective, right? The administration, they're really pushing towards hey, we need more cybersecurity professionals. Now is the time to start looking for those grants because they're making such a big push. They're investing in it. So the opportunities are definitely out there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What else about cybersecurity training / certification advice? Anything else that we didn't talk about or missed or anything you want to mention?
Oh, man. I feel like we need to redo the tier list.
Yeah, we should. We should do another tier list. There's more I want to do with the tier list, by the way, for those listening who know what we're talking about. I think I like a tools tier list, like a cybersecurity tools tier list or like an OFSEC tool tiers list or maybe things like that. A C2 tier list. We got to do an EDR tier list.
Oh yeah.
There's tons of possibilities. Awesome. Well, that's our show. It's our episode. Hopefully you got value from this discussion. You can find us at offsec.blog or at secureit360.com. We post a lot of content in both of those places. We post content on LinkedIn and YouTube and all that jazz as well. And hit us up on social media if you like this episode or if you got value from it or if you have any other questions you want us to chat about on the podcast, and we'll do another episode. And with that, we will see you all next time.